You know, it's good to be away for a few days, like we were away at St. Louis, to be with the family of God from all over the nation, all over the world. But I'm telling you, there's no place I'd rather be than with my family of God. Amen. Amen. You, church, are my family of God. Amen. We're not a collection of families that come together at the same time every week. We're one family. Yes. Baptized into one body. Amen. Serving one God in spirit and in truth. And my God, I love you guys.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. His call is for us to love one another. Amen. Jesus. Well, as the kids would say, because I got to spend so much time with kids this week. It's been a minute since I got to talk to you guys in adult Sunday school. So I look forward to it. I appreciate the opportunity. Today we're going to talk about living in hope. And we're going to turn to the book of Titus. Chapter 2 and verse 11, living in hope. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for the word that is coming across today, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name for every ear, Lord God, for every heart. In Jesus' name, help us, Lord, to participate in your word. Help us to give you our very best, God. You deserve our best, not just at big services, God, but anytime we gather together, two or three. Jesus, you're getting my very best, my biggest sacrifice, my greatest worship. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to worship you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be, oh wait, no, we're going to read the word. Sorry. Gotcha. Zinger. Titus 2, verse 11, and this is in the NIV. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait. Everybody say, wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people. He's talking about you guys that are his very own. And what? We are eager to do what is good. You may be seated. Amen. This is Sunday school, so I appreciate, I know you guys have discussion. You guys have a question, a comment, something to add, feel free to raise your hand and offer it up. We'd love to hear from you, okay? Not a lecture. We are talking today about living in hope. I think as apostolics, probably more than general Christendom, we recognize what is being said here in the book of Titus when Paul's talking about the grace of God, because there's such a push for grace, 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 grace. You know, you got big grace churches that are the biggest churches in town. Come as you are and leave just the way you came. Right? And they perpetuate this gospel that God's grace is so big that you never have to change. You never have to obey. You'll always be accepted no matter what you do. Right? That's the general spirit of the age. God said to understand, to know, you know, how the devil works, the weapons of his warfare. So we understand this grace gospel, but we, I think as apostolics, or at least I do, we see that this passage is saying that grace does not just give you a license to sin, but it teaches us to say no. It teaches us to control ourselves, to live upright and godly lives in this present age. But there's a passage, there's a part in this, in what we read today that is talking about hope. And that's our subject today. Because we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us. You see, we can get so caught up in job, you know, family, church, every duty, every housework, every errand that we can forget that there is a reward coming that is greater than anything you've ever seen. The Bible said that how can you hope for something that you see? You can only hope for something that you haven't seen. We hope for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ when he splits the skies and said, church, Now is the time to come home. Amen? And our making it depends on us having this hope. The Word of God says that we are saved by hope. So, question, asking for answers. What is hope? How would you define hope? Oxford Dictionarians. What would be your interpretation, your definition of what is hope? Sister Camille. Something you want to happen? Yeah? An expectation? That's like right there. Yes? Absolutely. Assured it's going to happen. Yep. It's getting to this boldness. It's getting to this no doubt about it. Anyone else? What is hope? Our lesson provides this awesome explanation and definition. Hope, biblically defined, is a confident expectation. Right? It's not just like, I wish mom and dad would stop at McDonald's on the way home. Even though normally they say they won't. It's not, I wish God would provide me, you know, would heal our body. I just wish God would fill me with the Holy Ghost. You know, I wish God would give me peace. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've had the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized for how many years? I wish God would give me peace. That'd be nice if God gave me joy. Biblically defined, hope is a confident expectation that God will undoubtedly every time fulfill his promises to his church. Amen? That was not too enthusiastic. God will fulfill his promises to you. Amen? Even on a 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, God is faithful. Amen? That's what hope is. Trusting in the character of God. You know, it's kind of like if any wife has a husband that can't... Yeah, I had to finish that because every wife has a husband. Thank you. It's 1 o'clock. I got a buffer. I got to load. Has a husband that just can't pass somebody in need. You know that your husband is going to help somebody, you know, not going to pour out their checkbook, but they're going to try to help somebody in need. So you know your husband is a helping person. He just, you know, puts himself out to help people. And you know that when he goes by somebody at work, that somebody's going to be broken down. Even if you weren't there to witness your husband doing it, you know without a shadow of a doubt, he's going to see if there's, you know, do you need help with your tire being changed or do you need help taking to get gas? Hope is when I don't see it with my physical eyes, but I know the character of the person I'm referencing. And that only comes through relationship and experience, right? When you're dating for 2 weeks, you don't know about the character and the attributes of the person that, you know, you're celebrating your 2 week with. But when you've been married, when you've been walking for a while, when you've been married for a while, you're able to trust, and hopefully they have won your trust. Come on, who knows that in, especially a marriage relationship, nothing can replace trust. Hey! Cindy, we love you, and it's so good to see you.
Thank you.
Nothing can replace trust. Amen? My wife and I have only been married a few years now, but I sure hope she can trust me. I sure hope I've showed her some things about myself, where she knows how I would act even if she wasn't there to witness it. That's the same way with God. If you've been walking with God any length of time, we ought to be able to know his character. And that's what hope is all about. God, you've proven yourself faithful to me. So Jesus, I'm going to hold on to hope that your word says that you will provide. God, I know that your word says that you promise peace to everyone who calls on your name, who lives, amen, according to your word. It's more than wishful thinking. It's more than, you know, because in the world, to have hope makes you seem like you're a child. Makes you seem naive. To really hope in something. The world says, that's so naive. You know what they call that? People like that? I'm just a realist. So I don't hope and stuff. It just is what it is. We can never let that spirit creep into the church. Amen. God has called us to be a people of hope, to confidently expect, amen, that God is going to come through on every promise and on every word. Amen. And this is more than just our future reward of going to heaven, but this is in our present struggles as well. Amen. If we get so caught up on heaven, we're going to be tripping all the way there. Amen, brother. Absolutely. Yes, there is a different definition when we're rooted in the Word. The hope we have in Christ can be a comforting hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. You see, I don't think we talk about heaven enough. I don't think we talk about it enough. I'm going to prove it here, because the apostle is telling us that you don't continue to talk about this thing. So here we read it. According to the Lord's word, whose word? God's word. We tell you that we who are still alive, this is 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15, who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, and his name is Jesus, will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, what does this say? So, we will be with the Lord for how long? Forever. You know, you're not reading the Chronicles of Narnia or our trilogy of Star Wars. Right? It would kind of be like, you know, let's say I went through an event yesterday, the trip home, craziness. Oh my. But I could recount to you every detail of the trip home. Would you say, Brother Mark, you're lying? Brother Mark, you guys didn't stop at that gas station and Hayden's trying to spend 75 cents and you know, that Mark found at the bottom of a seat and the girls got some sort of slushy type deals or something. You know, Brother Mark, you're lying. You didn't stop at a gas station. You wouldn't say that. Why? Because I was there and you weren't there. Right? It makes no sense for us to question or wonder about the authenticity of God, because he was here in the future and he is there. Amen? He tells us just as surely as we had yesterday, he has tomorrow. Right? So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another. Who's he talking about encouraging who? The church. How do we keep our hope? Encouraging one another. With what words? Come on, it's good to be able to string out some words from, you know, a good theologian or maybe some good words from a great preacher, you know, but the Bible is calling us to encourage each other with the very Word of God. Nothing can replace it. Nothing matches up. Amen. We need the Word of God beyond being preached in a microphone, but we need the Word of God over a telephone, over a dinner date, over coffee on Monday, in Jesus' name. We need to be reciting the Word of God to one another. Because it is a balm to your soul. And if we'll use it, it will grow us. It will grow us closer together and create unity, cast out division. If we will use the sword that God has given, everyone baptized and filled, amen, with his Spirit. This word was given for us. Amen. So encourage one another with these words. It will give you hope. Amen. This scene from the future hasn't happened yet, but certainly will, should bring you comfort. If you are born again of water and the Spirit and walking in obedience to His Word. Amen. In what instance will this not bring you comfort? If you have not obeyed the gospel. This should be one of the most terrifying, disturbing, nightmare-giving passages in the entire Word of God. To think about the reality that I had 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years to obey God in what would take 5 minutes. But because I chose to throw it all away, I am lost forever, separated from God and everything good. Right? But when you're a part of the body, nothing compares to the promise that's coming. There is no in-between place. It's either heaven or hell. Amen? It's either eternally being with God or eternally being separated from God. That should give you hope if you're walking with Him. Amen. In obedience. Amen, Brother Darren? It is worth the trip, and we get so caught up, especially I think young people. It's hard when no one's talking about heaven to think about, oh my goodness, eternity with God. All I'm experiencing is school, and all I'm experiencing is boredom. Amen. But if you live for God with everything that you have, all of the riches of the fullness of the goodness of Jesus Christ, everything good, everything right, everything holy for the rest of forever and forever and forever is waiting for His bride. Amen. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth. Who is He talking to? The church. Right? New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That like as we are as He was resurrected from the dead, we too, amen, that's what Paul says earlier in our Bibles, just as Jesus was resurrected from the dead, we too shall resurrect, amen. Who is our living hope? He has a name, amen. Our hope has a name, amen. And our hope wants to know your name. This living hope, when it's all said and done, wants to open up the book of life and see your name. Amen? Right? God is not one of those people that has a birthday party and invites people just because it's awkward not to. You ever done that? It's like, oh, I don't want this family member to come, but are you available at 1 o'clock on Saturday? I hope you're not. You're having vacation, right? God's not like one of those people. Every person that He's invited to this party, He wants you to be there. And He wants you to be there so bad. He was willing to take a whip. He was willing to take a crown of thorns and a cross, to take up a cross for you alone. Amen? Sis? Amen. 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 So the word talks about telling that to our children and talking about it all the time. So if Christ, this is talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He was resurrected. So if Jesus is alive today, that means, just like anyone else who's alive today, you are physically able to talk to him. So if you aren't talking to him, if he's not communicating with you, we need to ask what's going on. Just like anyone else alive today, we're able to hear his voice. And if I'm not hearing his voice, it's not because he isn't speaking.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
And just like anyone else today, you can feel his presence. Amen?
Yeah.
And so if you can't feel his presence, amen, as we start to worship and as this people begins to lift our hands and sacrifice, we need to ask, my God, where is my mind? Where is my spirit? And why are my hands not lifted up in worship? Because his presence makes all the difference. Amen. That is our hope. A purifying hope. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, again, through 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Offers it to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our God, great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. Okay, ready? Hone in. And to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. When we have our hope in Christ, he is calling you to a life of purity, to purify yourself. Amen? We're going to turn to the passage Brother Darren was talking about in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 through 3. I hope you feel the love that John is pouring out, even just in this introduction. I mean, are you kidding me? This dude put his head on Jesus' bosom. This guy witnessed miracles. This guy, you know, wrote a gospel. Church, dear friends, he's calling us dear friends. Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him do what? What do we do, John? Purify themselves. I mean, how? Just as he is pure. So, this is, as they say, you know, in baseball, I'm going to give you a meatball. What is the connection between hope and purifying yourself? What's the deal? Think about it. Calculate. What's the connection to hope? Read it. Yes, you need the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. And what else is the hope? Anyone have the, there's no right or wrong. I'm just trying to get you to think here. What's the connection between hoping and purifying? How about the why? Answer the why. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think of it as the bride. We are the bride. And so if I'm hoping for my wedding day, I want to be prepared. I want to be beautiful. I want to be pure.
Somebody better get their preach on.
That's such a beautiful
stream. Oh!
I'm going to remember that because I've never seen a bride show up.
Looking like a filth. That was
good.
You get brownie points. Yeah, true that. Amen. You know, I think about the story of the king who said, "I'm gonna have a feast. Let's invite a bunch of people." And so the first round of people, I'm not really feeling it. Second round of people, you know, go into the highways and byways. And so they start to bring people in. And they bring people in. He's filled the table. The king's like, my table will be filled. I don't care who I have to invite. But people are going to be eating this food. Right? Parallel. The Holy Ghost. People will be receiving the Holy Ghost. It will be poured out on all flesh. It doesn't matter who God has to invite. I might as well be one of them. And there turns up this person who's ready to eat, who's all hungry and hangry and hasn't ate all day. You know, like when you know you're going to go to a great restaurant, so you starve yourself. Like, I'm going to pound down three times what I should. But the master looks at him and says, he has no garment on. He's not dressed right for this event. A free event. You know, he got invited. So he said, you know, he's not dressed right. Take that dude out and cast him into everlasting darkness. Because apparently he knew the protocol, right? Because the parallel is that God is this master and God is just. God is fair, right? So this guy willingly chose to not put on his very best to come to God. Amen? So that is the connection. And what Sister Kim said and Brother Darren, that is the connection between hope and purifying yourself. This one that we have hope in, we know what he's looking for. We've heard it preached. We've heard it taught. We've read it. We've seen it. And the only reason we don't do it is because we don't want to do it. Amen? True that. Amen? But when we come to a place and say, God, gee, my Lord, I just want you. I want you in the little stuff. I want you in the big stuff. I want you all day, every day. Jesus, I want you in my clothing. I want you in my eating habits. I want you in my conversations, my relationships. Jesus, I want everything that you have. We'll be able to purify ourselves between the living God, before the God who is a consuming fire. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Just wasn't worth the effort.
People would say that God is cruel or harsh. He's not. He provided everything.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Hope inspires. In the German and Japanese war camps of World War II, it was observed that the only prisoners who survived were the ones who had hope. This hope was seen in many forms. Namely, some prisoners were busy planning an escape or expected to be set free one day. Others had a strong will or became too angry to quit trying. I can't help but think about myself when I think about that. You ever get that way walking with God? I'm not saying you're angry at God, but angry at yourself. Like, my goodness, I keep failing, but I am not giving up. I've come this far. You know, I might have failed 100 times at my devotions, but my word, I'm angry. I'm going to get this thing down. Amen? Still others were sure they'd get even with their captors one day. Whatever the reason for living, those who had hope survived, and those who lost hope eventually died. Hope is enough to carry you through day by day by day by day. If you will choose to put your eyes on your hope, it's enough to carry you through every storm, every hard situation, amen? Every disagreement, every argument, every storm. Come on, God, the hope that he's put inside of you is enough. But it's not just something that just comes out of the blue. It's something that will be grown inside of us, amen? We're going to see that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. It's kind of like this thought, I one day I'm going to tweet it and get so many followers. But we pray for love, right? God, give me love. That's not how it works. God, give me patience. Give me joy. Those are fruit of the Spirit that God expects us to grow. Gifts are given. Fruits are grown. And I want you to see that about hope. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. What? We glory in our sufferings. Why? Because we know. Do we know it? We know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. Go back to where it talks about character produces hope, please. Here, Paul is saying that hope is going to come through some suffering. Hope is going to come through some hardship, right? Because we are the bride of Christ. And anything worthwhile in a marriage comes through experience, comes through hard times, comes through not always the richer, but a lot of times the poorer. Not always the health, but a lot of times the sickness. Amen. Everything worthwhile is going to come through difficult times of suffering. And so Paul says we need to glory in our sufferings. Ah! But that's the word, right? That's a word just as much as be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen? We need to say, thank you, God. You know? Thank you, God, that this is really hard right now. Because I know it's going to be worth it someday. Because when God lets hard stuff in your life, He thinks you're able to take it on. And He's trying to grow something bigger and better in you. Amen? That you're not able to get on your own. So when He takes you through suffering, God is trying to build into you perseverance. Amen? Are we able to look in the mirror and say, I am a person of perseverance? Or every time something hard comes up, I want to jump ship. And if we have perseverance down, am I a person of character? Amen? Am I the same person no matter who's watching, no matter who's talking? And finally, character will produce hope. Romans 8 and verse 22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning and as in the pains of childbirth right until the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. He's talking about, you got the Holy Ghost. That's the first fruits. What's the implication? There's more coming. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Rhetorical question, who hopes for what they already have? Amen. It's kind of the design of God that we hope for something we haven't seen yet. Amen. Because it's building in us a trust in the character and the goodness of Christ. If you're living for God, a little peek into all of history. If you're living for God, this is as bad as it's going to get. This world is as bad as it's going to get. Right? When it's all said and done, we got some goodness coming ahead of us. But if you're choosing not to live for God, this is as good as it's going to get. As hard You know, we have a couple moments of fun, but this world is as good as it's going to get, and it's downhill from there. Amen? But we have a hope when we say, Jesus, I surrender all. Let me read to you the fate of the unbeliever. I'm going to read it quickly. I'm not going to wrap it, but I'm going to read it quickly. The psalmist writes in chapter 49. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They're like beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers, who approve their sayings. They are like sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd, but the upright will prevail over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from princely mansions. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. But for those that have our hope in God and are living according to the hope of the Holy Ghost, walking in obedience of the hope put in us, this is what Job says. Let it encourage you. Job chapter 19, verse 25. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with mine own eyes. I, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. Amen. That's a promise from the Word of God. It doesn't matter how you die, when you die, what happens, or if you die. Amen. You are going to see God with your own eyes. Nobody's going to have to tell you about his hair looking like wool and his eyes being a flame of fire. Amen. Because you're going to close your eyes for the last time and open them to see the great God that you have sacrificed everything for. And you are going to say, Ryan, it's been worth it. Fia, it's been worth it. Marcia, it's been worth it. We made it. We made heaven. Hallelujah. There's no looking back. No more tears. But Jesus, I love you and I thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you imagine when we're all looking at each other after we're going to be looking at Jesus, but dude, we made it. It's going to be awesome. Amen. It's going to be worth it all. And that is our hope. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So let's take some of this fire. Let's take some of this sacrifice. NAYC had powerful services because everybody sacrificed in worship. Amen? Amen. So let's choose to sacrifice in worship and see miracles, signs, and wonders, people filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? And his word go forth today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God deserves our very best. You are dismissed.